Nonfiction, 10 Days That Shook the World, Inspirational Platform for Evolution's Nameless Voices, Ian Patterson. Leon Trotsky said John Reed did not miss one of the dramatic episodes of the revolution. He was someone who knew how to see and hear. Reed's 1919 book 10 Days That Shook the World does not disappoint. It is a superb read. The American journalist gives a fantastic underground account of revolutionary Russia immediately before and after the Bolshevik-led Soviets overthrew capitalism across the land. He went halfway around the world to report on the unfolding revolution. Reed was caught up in the revolution and supported it. How could he not? He remembers bumping at top speed down the Suvorovsky Prospect, swaying from side to side. One man tore the wrapping from a bundle and began to hurl handfuls of papers into the air. We imitated him, plunging down through the dark street with a tail of white papers floating and eddying out behind. I picked up a copy of the paper and under a fleeting street light read, "To the citizens of Russia. Long live the revolution of workmen, soldiers, and peasants." Reed's socialist loyalties put him in danger. On trying to enter Petrograd, after siding with the revolution, he is challenged by a pro-capitalist colonel. "We showed our Bolshevik papers." "Oh dear no." He smiled. "We are holding the city for Kerensky." Our hearts sank, for our passes stated that we were revolutionary to the core. 10 Days gives a platform to the myriad nameless voices that had swung behind the revolution. Even the waiters and hotel servants were organized and refused tips. On the walls of restaurants they put up signs which read, "No tips taken here," or, "Just because a man has to make his living waiting on tables is no reason to insult him by offering him a tip." He recalls a crowd of revolutionary sailors run in with the rail union, the Vixel, led by the right. A member of the Vixel was pleading with them. "Comrades, we cannot carry you to Moscow. We are neutral. We do not carry troops for either side. We cannot take you to Moscow, where already there is terrible civil war." All the seething square ordered him, the sailors began to surge forward. Suddenly another door was flung wide, in it stood 2 or 3 brakemen, a fireman also. "This way, comrades," cried one. "We will take you to Moscow, or Vladivostok, if you like. Long live the revolution." One soldier remarked, "That some look down on us Russians, because so long we tolerated a medieval monarchy. But we saw that the Tsar was not the only tyrant in the world, capitalism was worse, and in all the countries of the world capitalism was emperor." Reed is present at the Congress of Soviets straight after the October insurrection. The elected representatives were great masses of shabby soldiers, grimy workmen, peasants, poor men, bent and scarred in the brute struggle for existence. There were hugely important votes to end the war, grant workers control of industry, give the land to the peasants, and begin to build a socialist society. A right-wing delegate thought he could vote to continue the war, surrounded by soldiers fresh from the front. It was exactly 10:35, when Kamenev asked all in favor of the proclamation to hold up their cards. One delegate dared to raise his hand against, but the sudden sharp outburst around him brought it swiftly down. In the penultimate chapter, Reed makes an important departure from the wonderful journey he's taken you on. The style changes, it is a full-bodied defense of the socialist ideas at the heart of the Russian Revolution, the first time ever the exploited took power across a country. But Reed has you sold long before this. "I suddenly realized that the devout Russian people no longer needed priests to pray them into heaven. On earth they were building a kingdom more bright than any heaven had to offer." 10 Days That Shook the World, £9.99 from leftbooks.co.uk.